Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions and we have answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin. Welcome to another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, which will connect you with one of our internal experts who will provide an answer and/or direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Sometimes these requests are specific to a particular company's needs, but most of them speak to the broad challenges facing Bella members in general, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. And joining us once again to answer those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, it's always great to see you. Thank you so much for returning to the show.
Oh, Bill, it's my pleasure. Every time you put a Bella Asks recording session on my calendar, I get excited because it means we have more questions.
Well, this next one is an investigations question, and it kind of cuts to the heart of investigations in general. And it reads, how do I anonymize investigations data to remove bias?
Yeah, Bill, when you dropped this one into the chat and said, you know, this is a new one that had just come in, I was super intrigued by this question. Because to me, you know, if I'm reading between the lines of the member that asked the question, they're either thinking about reporting it out, right? So they're reporting to the board, they're reporting in an integrity report, which you and I, you know, did a Bella Asks on how to create an annual integrity report. Mm-hmm. There's some context in which they want to share the investigations data, and they want to make sure that they have appropriately anonymized the data. Mm-hmm. But the bias piece was interesting to me because, you know, it caused me to think about the ways in which our presentation of investigations data could potentially reflect bias, right? That I think is a really interesting discussion for compliance teams to be having. What could that potentially look like, right? Are we painting a particular part of the company in a bad light because of the way we're presenting this data, right? Mm-hmm. So a couple of suggestions for people to think through here. One is looking at the way that the company presents other data sets, right? Are there, are you reporting on employee turnover? Are you reporting on customer churn, right? Because implicit in this question is, I want to remove the bias because there's a negative connotation for the data. And so looking at other data sets that could potentially be conveying bad news to leadership or to the board would be one way that you can think about kind of aligning your negative data sets with their negative data sets. So that's one idea. The second idea I had in response to this question was, why do we think investigations data is bad data, right? Why is it something that we're concerned about sharing? And this goes to the way that we think about the process of raising a concern. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not every investigation is substantiated. Not every investigation leads to discipline, right? It could be that somebody made a legitimate mistake. It could be that a process was wrong, right? There's lots of potential outcomes for investigations. And so to some extent, do we have to remove the bias or reduce the bias that we have, even as compliance professionals, that somehow investigations data reflects bad things happening in the business? If we can really get our heads around the idea that information is a gift, then if there's a particular part of the business that is presenting you with a lot of investigations data, we can celebrate that, instead of thinking that somehow reflects that there's something wrong with that part of the business.
You know, you and I often speak about sort of the existential issue facing E&C departments, which is not being seen as the department of no, or not being seen as the cops. And so I have to wonder if the degree to which that perception exists within an organization, how much that becomes a degree of difficulty on the notion of an inherent sense of, oh, investigations data always has a bias that must be corrected because there's an initial bias against the function. Mm-hmm. And that can kind of create sort of a vicious circle, I imagine.
I think it could. Especially if the only time that the ENC function is going to leadership or is going to the board of directors is to talk about investigation statistics, right? Which would sort of reinforce that, like, I only bring you problems, kind of perception.
Yeah. Yeah. At which point now it's becoming not so much about the data, but about, right. about the function and about the culture, which right. is a much bigger question to answer. So.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, Bill, one of the challenges with these concierge questions, especially the way that you and I receive them internally from, you know, the system that we use to kind of track the questions, is we don't get to ask a follow-up question to the question that we got asked, right? Except for that one time that we were at the casting live at GES, and we did have somebody live chat us during the Ethicast to tell us that, you know, to give us additional details on the question. So, but this is one of those circumstances where I really wish that we had the opportunity to ask follow-up questions of this Bella member to ask, what kind of bias are you trying to remove from the data, right? Did we hit the mark in what our supposition was of the question you were asking, or is there more to this story? So if you're out there listening and you are the person who asked this question, get in touch with Bill and I, because we'd love to do a follow-up on this one.
Yeah, most definitely. I cannot stress that strongly enough. Just because we've covered a particular topic on the show does not mean that we've closed the book on it forever. And certainly to all of you out there who are listening, if you're hearing us talking about this and that prompts a question of your own that you would like to, you know, see us drill deeper on, yes, to Erica's point, please reach out to us. We would love nothing more than to come back to a previous episode and further that conversation to your benefit. So with that in mind, Erica, thank you so much for coming on the show for this episode and for answering this question in Bella Asks. It's great to have you.
No, it's 100% my pleasure, Bill, and to all those Bella members out there, whether you were the Bella member that asked this particular question or not, keep those questions coming so that Bill and I have a chance to keep talking.
To learn more about Bella, please visit ethisphere.com/Bella to request guest access to our member resource hub and to speak with the Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you would like answered on Bella Asks, be sure to use the Bella Concierge service and we'll get to your question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been a special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.